Muffy Spirituality Center presents Muffin Talk with Beate.
Kia ora and welcome to Muffin Talk. Muffin Talk is brought to you by the Mercy Spirituality Center in Ipsum. We are a center for retreats, spiritual guidance, Christian meditation, and personal development. Once a week, I invite a visitor to join me in the studio to talk about our center, the Mercy Sisters, social justice, or the Catholic Church. Today, my visitor is Pat Lythe. Pat, a warm welcome and hi to my radio program.
Thank you.
Pat is originally from Hamilton in New Zealand, and for many years she was the leader of the Pastoral and Parish Services Group of the Catholic Diocese of Auckland. For many years, Pat has also been involved in ecumenism, and last week she gave a very good presentation on the papal document Ut Unum Sint. Pat, the term ecumenism is often misunderstood. What does it mean?
Well, it actually comes from the Greek word oikomene, which means a whole inhabited world. But in more recent times, like this century, it's been used to talk about the movement of bringing all the Christian churches together into unity.
And the last century too?
Yeah, the last century, yeah.
Started.
The last 100 years, really, yes.
And so, and how do you get, did you get first involved in ecumenism?
How did I get involved in ecumenism? I'm from what Catholics call, or used to call, a mixed marriage. And my mother was a Methodist and my father was a Catholic. And before Vatican II, it was very, there was a very strict demarcation. And I found that very annoying, and was more than that, more than annoying. I was really sad for my mother, who felt quite isolated from the Catholic community. So once Vatican II changed all of that and I was able to get involved in the ecumenical movement, I thought this is something I really am passionate about.
At the talk you also asked others to share their experience about ecumenism and about different denominations within New Zealand. Can you summarise some of these answers?
Well, if you were marrying, if a Catholic was marrying a non-Catholic, they weren't allowed to be married in front of the altar. They had to be married in the, what they called the sacristy, the back room. And if, for example, when my grandparents died, my mother's parents, I couldn't go to, wasn't allowed to go to the funeral. So there were whole lots of things. So it actually was worse than that because, and this didn't come up the other night, but advertisements used to say Catholics need not apply.
Oh, so it's discriminating.
So it was really discrimination, yes.
Yeah.
Not just by the Catholic community, by the whole community.
And today people can't understand that anymore.
No, that's right.
And what about if there's a mixed marriage? What would that look like, the celebration today?
No problem today. No
it
problem
could be
today.
Either church.
Yes, could be either church. Usually a Catholic priest will go to the other church, if a Catholic's marrying another person from another faith, or they're married in the Catholic Church, and the minister from the other church can be there too.
You just mentioned another faith. Is that, because we're talking about ecumenism and faith,
yes.
Is that...
Yeah, no, I'm actually talking another church, I guess. It's confusing for people. Ecumenism means all of the churches that believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, who are Christian churches. Another faith are faiths like Buddhism and Islam and Sikh, all of those things that have a different prophet that brings God to them.
Yeah. Thank you for that clarification. It's always good to know, to have that in mind. For those of you who've just tuned in, you're listening to Muffin Talk with Beate. This program is brought to you by the Mercy Spirituality Center. We are on air every Friday morning at 8:40 a.m. on Planet FM 104.6. If you miss any of our programs, please check out www.planetaudio.org.nz/muffintalk or send me an email at muffintalk840@gmail.com or visit our Facebook page at Te Ngā Kawaiora Mercy Spirituality Center. My visitor today is Pat Lythe, and Pat has been involved in ecumenism for many years, and we just clarified ecumenism is different Christian denominations where with the same basic belief, whereas faiths are often seen as different faith traditions, as Hinduism and Muslim and so on. Pat, as I mentioned earlier, you gave a presentation on the encyclical Ut Unum Sint. What was this document about?
Okay, Ut Unum Sint is Latin for that they may be one. And it's the first three words of an encyclical that John Paul II wrote in 1995. And it's the only encyclical that's totally on ecumenism. And it's 30 years after the Vatican II document, but it's reinforcing that the Catholic Church is totally committed to ecumenism and that it should be very high up in the priorities. It sort of had got lost in all of the Vatican II changes. The church was changed internally, but its external relations with other churches sort of was lost. So John Paul II in Ut Unum Sint was actually saying, okay, we've got to get back on board this ecumenical movement.
It's at the time also when the week for unity, Christian unity was promoted more, or has
that
been?
No, that had been going for a long time, actually. Yeah. Yes, it just wasn't very public, but it had been going for a long time.
Yeah. And Pope Francis is continuing the tradition of reaching out to other denominations.
Right. Yep.
So you already mentioned a little bit of why this papal letter was so special. It was because of what you said. It's the first letter that was completely on ecumenism?
Totally, apart from the Vatican II document. Yeah, on ecumenism, yes. And when I was talking about Ut Unum Sint the other night, I started off with how the churches broke away from one another. And they broke away from one another in the early centuries. And when Constantine became Christian, the Emperor Constantine, he called together all of the leaders of the churches at the time and to make sure that they're all believing the same thing or practicing the same way. And so over a period of 400 years, from about 323 to 720, a series of ecumenical, that's a different meaning of ecumenical, it meant all of the inhabited world at that time, Roman Empire.
The known inhabited world.
That's right. They came together to try and rationalise what they believed, and they came up with the Nicene Creed. However, there were seven councils in that time, and various groups of Christians argued about various points in the creeds, and one of them was whether the Son existed right from all time, or whether the Father had him created when just before Christ came. And that was a huge argument, and it wasn't agreed to till later in the time. And then another argument was, where did the Holy Spirit come from? Did the Holy Spirit proceed from the Father and the Son, or just from the Father? And so there are a whole lot of, and they seem to be, to us, technical points, but in fact they're very, very seriously held by lots of people, and some of the Orthodox churches still believe some different things. But the creed basically says what all Christians believe, the Nicene Creed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what you started with. You started with the creed. And so what does the creed now have to do with ecumenism? It's what you just said, that it's what everybody believes in? Every Christian denomination?
No. In the Great Schism, which was in 10 something or other, can't remember exactly the date, but the Orthodox churches, they again met to look at the creed, and the Orthodox churches broke away because they did not believe that the Holy Spirit proceeded from the Father and the Son. They believed that the Holy Spirit proceeded from the Father. So those churches still believe that, and apart from that, they're the closest to the Catholic Church, or to other Christian churches, if you like, apart from that belief. And so the Pope and the patriarchs of all the Eastern churches have been trying to mend relationships. They still haven't got round to the theological point, but they're creating a much better atmosphere in which to talk about it. And that's what has been happening with all of the popes now since JP2 and Benedict and Francis. Every time they go to a country, they actually meet with other Christian leaders instead of just the Catholics.
Yeah.
Creating relationships so that once you're friends, you can talk about things much more easily than if you're enemies.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
And what about the denominations that came later on? You know, because you're now referring to the ones before.
So the first split was between all of the churches of the East, well, the Orthodox churches and the Christian churches. But then, with Martin Luther, he decided that, and he was right, that the Catholic Church was quite evil in the way it was trying to sell indulgences and the lavish lifestyle that some of the prelates were using. So he decided that he wouldn't go along with that and he would just believe in the scripture. Church didn't have anything to do with saying what was right and wrong, and he broke away. And so Protestantism began then, and then later on, not much later, but a bit later, Henry VIII in England wanted to marry again because his first wife couldn't produce a male heir, and the Pope refused to annul the marriage, so he broke away and decided that he would be the head of the Church of England. So those two, that was called the Reformation, both in Europe and in England, and those all of the churches since, like Christian, Methodists, Presbyterians, Baptists, all of those, they all broke away from that. So they're the churches of the West, and they broke away in the Reformation, and the churches of the East broke away in the after the Great Schism.
So ecumenism embraces all of them?
It does.
And what about the evangelical churches?
The evangelical churches are later churches, and they wouldn't necessarily believe in the creed. They would believe in some of it, but not all of it. And so because they don't have they're all individual churches. They don't actually have an overriding structure. So it's very difficult to talk to them about ecumenism. And in the local experience, they're not really interested at this stage.
Yeah. But they would be under the...
They believe in Jesus Christ, but they don't believe in a lot of the other items in the creed.
They might, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
But if a Catholic goes to an Anglican church, you'd hear the creed, and you'd hear it when you go to the Methodist church.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah, and creed comes from credo, from I believe.
Yes,
that's right.
Yeah. Yep.
And you also mentioned during your presentation a conversion of heart and prayer.
Yeah, well, that's what Ut Unum Sint says, and all of the popes since have said, that we actually, part of the ecumenical movement is actually acknowledging that we made mistakes, that we're not perfect, and we're not asking other churches to join us. We're all asking that all of our churches look at our own teachings and our own beliefs and recognise and acknowledge humbly the mistakes we've made. So that's the conversion of heart. And if we pray together, the more we pray together, the better we're going to get on together and the closer we're going to get to reconciliation.
Is that one of the reasons why when there's an ecumenical event, we go to different places?
Yes.
So that we're not always going to
the same? That's right. That's right. Yep.
Yeah. And so with the working together closely, the many of the denominations, how does that look like? They're praying together. That's one thing.
They're praying together. They're working together in lots of things, like the Council of Christian Social Services in this country. The World Council of Churches was formed in 1948, and that's all of the Christian churches except the Catholic Church, because of structural reasons, because the Catholic Church is a universal church, whereas the World Council of Churches takes national churches, like the Anglican Church of England, the Anglican Church of New Zealand, and the Anglican Church of America are different members, whereas the Catholic Church doesn't see itself like that. Catholic Church sees itself as one universal church. So they've worked very closely with the World Council of Churches, and there are lots and lots and lots of cooperative endeavours all around the world. So we're working together, but we still have to face the doctrinal differences.
And yet when you go out and are involved in interfaith issues, then people from outside believe that all Christians are the same. Not everybody, but there are quite a few. I hear that all the time, that people say, oh, you're a Christian.
Yes.
And then they compare me with all the other Christians,
yes,
who I don't really know so well.
Yes, yes. Well, we are all the same except for a few little differences. And I wonder, once upon a time, ecumenism meant, for the Catholics anyway, that everybody would have to join our church, that we were the one true church. I wonder whether ecumenism in the future means unity in diversity, that we can acknowledge all of the things we acknowledge together, but some of our practices will be different. It's not at that stage yet, but I just wonder if that's the way we're going to go.
You mentioned one point that is agreed upon so far.
One point that's been agreed upon so far with all the Christian churches is baptism. We now acknowledge each other's baptism, providing the water has been used and the Trinitarian formula, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So once upon a time, not that long ago actually, probably 15 years ago when I was teaching RCIA, when people came into the church, you re-baptized anybody who had already been baptized, an Anglican or a Presbyterian, but now we don't. Now we acknowledge their baptism as being valid. So that was a huge breakthrough.
Yeah.
Yep.
Which really means that when we are baptized, that's when we are Christians.
Yes.
So
that's
then
right.
We are already all Christians,
yep,
all those who are
exactly
baptized in the,
yep,
in the Trinity, in the name,
yep,
of the Trinity.
That's right. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
And so in 2020, in May 2020, we'll have 25 years since the publication of Ut Unum Sint. In which way have we approached one another in these years? So we had a few examples, but maybe
lots,
you can tell
lots,
more.
Lots, a lot. I mean, there are formal structures that are called dialogues. So the Methodists and the Catholics meet, the Anglicans and the Catholics meet, the Presbyterians and the Catholics meet, the Lutherans and the Catholics meet, internationally and nationally, and they actually discuss the doctrinal points. For example, I'm on the Methodist-Catholic dialogue in New Zealand, and one of the things we discussed recently was the communion of saints. And when I asked that people at that meeting the other night, what do you believe by the communion of saints? There were so many different answers among Catholics. So when we're discussing it with other Christians, coming to a conclusion about what it means, that's what the dialogues do. But in the meantime, you're creating friendships because you meet regularly with those people, you pray together. So you're far more likely to come to an agreement that way than if people sat down with pieces of paper and they were just theologians talking.
Yeah.
So we're doing lots of dialoguing. We come up with agreed statements like the one on baptism, and we do lots of other things. But there are three sticking points at the moment. One of them is Eucharist. The second one is authority. What's the role of the Pope? Who's going to be the boss if there's one Christian church? He has asked, in Ut Unum Sint, he asked that people help him decide what the role of the Pope is. And the third one is the role of Mary. Most Christian churches believe that Mary's the Mother of God. Many people believe that Catholics worship Mary. They don't. But they honour her as the Mother of God, and so the place of Mary. So those three things are still probably the three sticking points that have to be come over. Ordination is the other one, but that comes under authority. So who has the authority to ordain? So that all of those things are not easy points. That's why I believe that in the future the Christian church will be a unified church in its diversity. That's my opinion anyway. But I'm not the Pope.
Well, if you just look at the Catholic Church, and since Vatican II, with inculturation and with different practices within the same faith,
church, yeah,
in the same church, I think that is a good symbol of what could happen,
yes,
in ecumenism.
Yes.
Because, like you said, some people misunderstanding the role of Mary in the Catholic Church, that can also be the reason. The reason can be because in certain cultural practices, it might be easy to understand, misunderstand, because the culture plays a big role in practices.
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
Different countries, you have different practices around Mary.
Yes.
And about around Jesus. And if you only know your culture, you might think that this is the only truth.
That's right. That's right.
So I think that it's good that we are learning from one another. And in these dialogues, you would have some theologians also, or
yes.
would you just have,
yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
Because I think that that's important. Otherwise,
yes.
it's not taken seriously by the authorities.
Oh, yes. The theologians are always on each of the dialogues from either side. Yep.
And
yep.
then in the Vatican, there's also a gremium. There's
yes.
also a group that discusses on different topics.
Yes, yes. There's what's it called? The Promoting Christian Unity, the Department for Promoting Christian Unity works with the World Council of Churches. And they've been meeting together ever since 1948 as well, or since Vatican II in particular.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a lot of goodwill, and the most of us who go to church on Sunday don't even know this is going on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there's also a communication between the different countries through the centre, through the big councils.
Yes.
Because I think that it's if there's a wonderful idea in New Zealand, it's good to spread around the world.
Yeah. So we have the World Day of Prayer for Christian Unity every year. In this hemisphere, it's the week before Pentecost, and we always meet in various churches. And there's the Women's World Day of Prayer, which is the first Friday of March. And there's also a Day of Prayer for Peace, which we get together on. And we're starting to get together on a whole lot more occasions as well. I see there's a Taizé prayer service coming up
shortly. Cathedral, yeah.
That's right.
The Anglican Cathedral.
And the Anglican Cathedral. And so the more we pray together, because many Catholics of my generation, and even younger perhaps, still have their memories of the anti-Catholic feeling further back. So actually going into non-Catholic churches has always been quite scary for people, but it isn't for our young people. They're used to it.
It's also good if there are some events where you go into in the Anglican church.
That's right.
Or the Anglican cathedral, and then you see the bishop, or you see the Catholic bishop.
That's
or you
right.
see some Catholic priests, because then you don't feel afraid if
exactly.
somebody has that
authority. Yeah, I know, that's right. Yeah.
Because I think that's important if you are in a church that is very structured, that they are good examples. From the top of
yep,
the hierarchy.
That's right. And that's what the Pope was saying. We really have to, we need to put this at the top of our agenda. And that's what worries me in our parishes, that the parishes don't put it at the top of their agenda. Parishes need to be engaging with their local churches. There are ministers' associations, but attendance at those has been dropping recently. And we really need to make sure that our parishes are into the ecumenical movement as well, not just the people at the top.
And these ministers' groups, would they report back to the parishes, or is that something that is just going alongside and the parish councils are not even informed?
That's a good question. They're there to actually create fellowship between the ministers, but also to plan local initiatives. Whether they report back to the parish council is a moot matter. In our case, we had lay people going to those ministers' associations as well who did report back to the council. That's fallen over in recent times. But yes, so if parishes don't know about it, they don't know that there's ecumenical meetings going on. Yeah.
I think that's when we need the big celebrations, like the 25th anniversary
yes.
of the publication of Ut Unum Sint
right.
in May.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Thank you very much, Pat, for this information on ecumenism and Ut Unum Sint. And I hope that many people listen and think about, do we do something in our church? Do we do something with our neighbors? Because there is more and more work with other faiths, but then we have to remember that the other faiths see us as one, and if we don't know about our direct Christian neighbors, it would be very hard to stand there and say, yes, I'm the Christian representative, if
yes.
we have a lot of
differences.
Differences.
Yes.
And we are still working on overcoming them. Thank you very much for this interview. And so what is coming up in the Mercy Spirituality Center? Our first event in November will be with Sister Anne Warren. And she's been on the radio program last week. And she talks about, it's a weekend workshop on towards an understanding of life's transitions. And on the 6th of November, from 10:30 to 12:30, we will have Sister Alice Sinnott at our center. She will give a presentation on God's steadfast love endures forever. This is the first of two talks with Sister Alice, and the second talk will be on Wednesday, the 13th of November. You can come to both of them, or but they're also standing alone. And then I interviewed recently Father Kevin Waldie in Muffin Talk, and he gave us information on his presentation, Gratitude in the Bible, Gracious God of Israel and Jesus, Son of God. There we are, Pat, Son of God.
Yep.
That's on Thursday, the 21st of November, 7 to 9 p.m. And for any more information, please check out our website at www.mercyspiritualitycenter.org.nz /muffintalk. Or look at our Facebook page. And for all events, please register with us per phone at Auckland 09-638-6238. Yeah, Pat, what are we going to say to the parishes now? Look out for ecumenical events.
That's right.
Or create your own.
Yes, plan something for Advent.
Yes.
Plan something for Good Friday next year. Meet with your other parishes for the Women's World Day of Prayer on the first Friday of March. If there isn't one in your area, organise it yourself. Get together with the other women from the other churches. Those are three things you could do.
Yeah. And you can read Ut Unum Sint.
Yes.
It's on the website, Vatican website. You can easily find it. And it's not that long.
No.
And I think it's not difficult to read.
No, it's quite an easy one.
So that's a good start for the ecumenical idea and for growing together peacefully and prayerfully. Thank you very much.